We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, December 10th, 2025 at 8:46 on the clock. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Adams, Claybaugh, Haxby, Tiemann, Weidel, Dorn, and Juergens. We also have the Honorable Dwayne Rue from the City of Beatrice. Welcome, as well as some of the courthouse staff and the press. Welcome to all of you.
The press.
Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held November 26th. 2025, approve all claims through December 10th, 2025, in the amount of $1,220,210.36. This includes a $400,000 internal transfer. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Accept claim number 2512-000068 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $50 to be voted on separately below. Approved District Court Summary Fee Report and Register of Deeds Fee Report for the month of November 2025. Approved Utility Permit Number 1340 to Norris Public Power District. Norris Public Power will be installing a new electric line under Pine Road for a solar site approximately 2,375 feet west of Southwest 103rd Road and Pine Road intersection. Norris will bore a 3-inch diameter by 60-foot deep line under Pine Road to power pole on south side of Pine Road, located north of Section 28, Township 2 North, Range 7 East Elm Township. 60 feet, 60 inches deep. Good catch, Mark. Sorry about that. 60 inches deep. I would ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless anyone would like to make a change other than 60 inches deep, not 60 feet deep.
Motion approved.
Motion by Dorn, second by Juergens. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 2512-000068. To Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $50. This brings the total amount of claims paid through December 10th, 2025 to $1,220,260.36, including a $400,000 internal transfer. Motion by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public or requests for future agenda items? Seeing none, we have gained Senator Myron Dorn. Good morning to you too, sir. With that, we'll go on to committee reports. Building and Grounds, Winter Lights, Mr. Dorn.
Dave's here.
Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. I just had a few things. The first door on the handicap entrance was paid for by a grant, so we talked about getting a second door on the interior door. That came to $19,477, so I'd like to proceed with that. That'll be really nice to have an airlock system on that entranceway there. And Plymouth Electric is getting real close to being done with the lighting project. They ordered some more 10-inch can lights, and those are on 3rd and 4th floor to finish up with that. And Applied Connect came down, and they did install the panic alarm system. And they're going to come next Monday also and wrap some things up. So that's about all I have.
Does that have the remote panic buttons also, or are those all hardwired?
Remote. It's remote.
Remote,
yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any questions for Mr. Jones? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Equalization, we had a brief meeting, very brief, 3 minutes, a couple corrections to the tax roll. Nothing really else to talk about at this time. Finance and Insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket item, advanced correctional health care, jail on-site
Medical Services, $11,112.83. Gage County transfer to from General to Road Department, $400,000. City of Waymore, quarterly EMS services, $10,000. The actual concrete, sand and gravel, rock and gravel, $116,070.75. Sat Brothers, fuel, oil, grease, $18,002.06. Volkscape, 2024, culvert project, final payment, $110,333.
Thank you, Mr. Juergens. Nothing else really at this time for finance and insurance. Human resources, employee relations, we still have continuing discussions with the FOP. That'll be sliding over to CIR sometime in January, it looks like. I don't think we really have anything else for HR. Law enforcement, emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, you going?
Sure. Morning, Lisa.
Is it on?
Yes.
It is on. It's okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. Just a kind of a brief update in terms of the solar project was out there yesterday. It's looking, the panels are attached to the pedestals. I do have a call in to Aaron Brown. And so I did see on the agenda that you know, the crossing of the right-of-ways and so forth to attach with Norris Public Power, it was on your consent agenda. But that's moving along. The last that I knew that they hoped that they would have it switched over, you know, in operation in January. So try to come back to you with a better, you know, timeline on that report. But weather's been favorable for them, you know, the last couple weeks. So it looks really good down there. So if you're feeling like a good drive on Pine Road, Ellis Road's a little muddy as of yesterday, but it'll get packed out good. So then the other thing on emergency management side, some of you may have heard or not, but Lancaster County is looking at an update on their communications system. So they have an aged out system, their radio system is, and so we have Cortland, Claytonia, and also Adams, who operates with those agencies. We'll be having those conversations with them, too, to see what kind of equipment needs to be updated. They are looking at starting an interlocal agency, you know, to also have our Cortland, Claytonia, and Adams people on it. They are looking for funding. So right now there's no problems with interoperability. You know, they usually have our departments in Gage County have one radio within. It's usually our rescue, you know, rigs that are most vulnerable, you know, that have that trade-off of patients. But so more details coming on that. That meeting is next Wednesday evening. So that'll be up at NEMA, so headquarters. The other thing, just for your information, NEMA right now we're doing lots of training, online training, and then also in-person training. And then we'll be doing some school promotions for severe weather as well. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Anything else for Lisa?
Thanks.
Gus, you got anything for us today?
Nothing.
You sure?
Stay over for next time.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I don't have anything for Gus either.
All right. Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
I would like to defer.
Push button.
Defer. Anyway, I'd like Emily to take
defer?
Defer. Defer.
Didn't know where you were going with that.
I said I don't want to do it.
It must be my age.
Let's see here. The dirt crew moved equipment, bladed snow, check tubes. Asphalt crew's been working on crack sealing. We talked about potentially looking at, we talked about closing road detours and what would be more efficient, something that Mark's going to look into a little bit more on equipment purposes. Discussed a grant writer with a liaison, and you guys requested the RFP for grant writer be done today, so it's all on your desks. Talked about not hiring outside of drivers, looking to see if we could hire internally, and then getting pricing on ice control with pre-treat or brine setups, or maybe working with the city on that. The other thing on that we talked about was between last meeting and this meeting was that we got round 10. We were successfully chosen with our application for round 10 of bridge match. So we'll have two more bridges that will be replaced as box culverts. That's funding from the state at 55% match. So we will be getting, the grant total was $440,275. So it's another one that we'll be working on to get completed. We're one of eight.
Along with that, that phone call that I thought was muted, that is an encouragement. It sounds like Southwest 131st, where there's a detour for the PWF, that road be south of the PWF. There's a dirt road there. The rock's all gone, and it's back to dirt, evidently. So is that something we work with Jefferson on? Or
Jefferson did call and stated that they were using that road for their detour. I called the township to let them know that if they needed in material for that road, they needed to call it in. And that's kind of where it's set at. So.
All right. Well, that's a call coming in. We probably need to take a look at that, figure out if we want to, or how we want to work that back and forth with Jefferson. But let's keep an eye on that one.
Because that road has been rocked in the last 2 years. It's been off their allotment, and they've put rock on there probably two and a half times, give or take.
Running PWF traffic down that, it won't take long.
That's what I was just going to say. That's got to be pretty busy if they're running PWF down it. So that you probably might want to keep a closer look on that. Rather than waiting for them to call, we might want to look at that every once in a while.
Especially if we get some bad weather, which has a tendency to happen. How long will that be closed?
About a year.
So that's one that we're just going to have to keep an eye on. I keep checking that at least every month, if not every couple weeks.
They just closed it officially last Wednesday.
So we might need to check it every week, because that's a busy thoroughfare down there. I mean, it's not like Liberty Blacktop
busy. It's
not like
Sergeant
busy,
Road.
What's that?
Not like Sergeant Road.
No, not like Sergeant. Prior to going on to Mr. Bliss with SEND, this is a really good time just while they're here. Rick was going. We've been talking about a grant writer for the county. I think for several years now. We've been looking into a company that works with the city of Beatrice. Rick talked to the city and also to one of the suppliers, the one that works for the city. He was going to give us an update on how much time it should require on the county side of things as we go through looking at grants.
I spoke with Taylor Rivera, the city attorney, and because he must do most of the...
Oh, Rick, will you push your button?
Oh, yeah. Button.
Thank you.
I spoke with Taylor Rivera, the city attorney for City of Beatrice, and he does most of the work for responding to Merchant McIntyre. The thing in question was how much time that they spent on their RAISE grant that they got, which was a $21 million grant. He said that he spent probably 2 hours a day for 2 weeks, so 20 hours, what he spent on it. But that was by far the most comprehensive one that he had ever done. Most of the time when they send grants possibilities, he spends maybe an hour or so. But that doesn't include the reporting that you have to do after you receive the grant. And he said most of that is just, I don't know if it's a word or not, but calendaring afterwards to make sure that he gets it set on his calendar to respond by certain. And he said that's probably what takes him more time. But that takes a very short amount of time, less than an hour, to respond to those grants. He spoke really highly about Merchant McIntyre. You know, they've I can't remember exactly when they started, but 23 into 23 they started, and that first year they had a return on investment 112-1, which when you have a $21 million grant, that really, really looks good. But they're in on several other grants right now for next year. So so they're basically really happy with what's happened so far. And part of Emily's RFP talks about responding. It's, we'll talk about that next. But every 2 weeks, I think Tobias has like a 45-minute conversation with them about how the grants are going and prospective grants that are coming up. So that's every 2 weeks, at least 45 minutes or so. So that's about all I checked into it. I probably would need to talk to Tobias first and again and see, because I just talked to Taylor. But it was really positive about Merchant McIntyre. I think the council's really pleased with them.
I've got a meeting with the mayor and Kelly today, so I'll ask a little bit about that as well. Part of the fear was in our committee meetings, it was going to take a lot of time if we had a grant writer. And it's like, if we're going to be hiring a grant writer, it's still going to take hours and hours of work. What's the point of hiring that grant writer? So we wanted to check with the city to see real-world grant-to-grant how it actually transpires, because we didn't know until after seeing how long it took them. It took Emily hundreds of hours, 600, I can't remember how many hours, hundreds of hours to work on it, where if we had that grant writer, we would have walked away from it. They would have put everything together, called the people that they needed the information from, and then basically packaged it, and then we would have had to look over it and review it more or less. Ms. Haxby.
I have worked with grant writers through the infrastructure hub with NDOT. So we're partnering with one with the BIP, which that one we're waiting just for the due date, but that one's ready to go. That one didn't take near the amount of hours as it did doing it by myself, because, again, we're reviewing, but you still have to go out and get public input. You still have to go out and get support letters. Still have to review every one of their drafts. And then I always read the NOFO, because they don't know the county. They're not from here. So you can find things that are pertinent to a grant that they would never find or know about. And so it's important that you're just as well aware of the NOFO as they are when you do those things. It's the same thing with, and I've worked with two different grant writing firms on two different grants. So the BIP was one firm, and the RAISE, which is now called the Build Grant, is a different firm. And we're working through those, but you still, I mean, it takes, I don't know if they just let them go, but it's good to review those things, because they don't know the county like we would.
The nice thing is to see, though, I think they did just let them go. That's what they do. And they were successful. I mean, that's important. We didn't want to be paying somebody that we had to babysit completely. We want them to take it, run with it, go do their thing. Minimal time to us. This isn't our job. We don't understand grants. We don't go through that on a daily basis where they did. The thing that, and Rick brought it up Monday, they won't know about local grants. They're based out of Washington, so federal grants are their thing. This is why I wanted to lead into this before Tom came up. We do have access to the finest development district in the state, which has kind of become the epitome of all the other development districts. So we have access to them directly, and I've been writing down some notes that I will ask them about to see if they can help with some of these things where we remove ourselves even further and we get more bang for our buck because we're already SEND members. Mr. Claybaugh.
That reminds me, talking to Taylor, that I still think the city uses SEND for some things, too. I don't know which grants. Was it the grants that they're...
I think it was for the administration of the grants.
Is it just...
We prepared it.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times we'll prepare the application.
Yeah.
And we'll have more discussion with SEND, which is fantastic, mm-hmm. because that's a change from years past.
Mm-hmm.
Just in our own county, and we'll talk about this more also, There are multiple communities using SINs. Mr. Juergens, don't forget to push your button.
We probably have the best grant writer in the state sitting right over there. But she gets paid nothing for the hours and hours and hours and hours. I mean, she'll have to go through the list, but the amount of money Emily has brought to Gage County is astronomical. Most of it done on her own, a lot of it done on her own. So if we're going to invest money there, I don't know how you do it. I don't know if it's legal. But she should be reimbursed for some of the time that she has put in doing what she's doing.
What we'll be proposing for the next 4-year term, would be a grant writer liaison that would be the board's contact between the grant writers, between us and the grant writers to review things, also to shoot over local grants that we aren't sure about, or that are coming up that they don't know about it. So that'll be discussed probably in our next committee meeting a couple weeks from now on Monday. I do want to ask Mr. Bliss while he's here also, how much more can we want to take as much away from the board as possible, because right now we have Emily. 2 years, we may not. We have to prepare for when we don't. We can't look at any of us sitting here. We have to look at what's this going to look like down the road when there are different people in our chairs, because we come and go fairly quickly, where this is going to be something, hopefully, that's here for a long time, and we have a lot of benefit from it. But that will be proposed for the next 4-year terms, elected official salaries. So we'll talk about dollar amounts on that probably Monday.
All right. Just through my conversation with Taylor, too, there is still work for a liaison to be doing, and Emily would certainly be the one that would hopefully be able to do that, with the reporting and the initial inquiries and even if we choose somebody like Merchant McIntyre every 2-week reporting and stuff, we would hope that Emily would still be able to do a lot of that stuff. But Emily needs to be a mom and a husband and other work too. So,
we're very lucky to have her here. Emily, this is accurate, isn't it? Over $6 million now in the earmarked grants, and then we have additional. Potential grants that are on the floor.
With about another $6 or $7 million waiting, hopefully.
So, I mean, we're very fortunate right now. It's just we're not all going to be here. I mean, we come and go. The county stays, so we have to prepare anything we do for down the road. That's all on that. That does lead into Mr. Bliss, Executive Director for Southeast Nebraska Development District, to present SEND activities. I'd welcome you all up to the podium. I have said we're the flagship development district in the state, and I don't just say that. The other development districts do look at SEND and some of the activities that have been going on through SEND, and they are definitely outside the box. We've been very fortunate with Mr. Bliss. He's come in and really taken SEND from what it was, and I'm going to say turned it around. SEND was doing what it absolutely had to in the past. Now it is doing everything above and beyond. We're trying new things on a regular basis. Other development districts call and ask how these things are working. We're trying to find ways to put affordable housing into the hands of our county members and village members. The latest big changes have been SEND contracting. Although SEND is not bringing in a lot of money off of that, we try to get the cost down for people. Thank you, Tom. Try to get the cost down for people to be able to buy new homes
retrofit homes, things like that, still using local contractors. We'll be talking today about the ICAs that are going to be going out, which will be looking at member counties to potentially change some of the wording to actually allow SEND, instead of going through SEND Inc. or SEND Act, kind of sister organizations, to actually own property and help with development of ground so that we can take that one step further, utilities, property, lots, and get those on the market as affordable building spots and potentially built homes on those lots also, beyond just remodeling and such. With that, I'll turn it over to Tom.
Hey, Mrs. Button?
It's on.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you again for including us on your agenda. I know you guys are busy. But I did want to come down and introduce a couple of staff members and also show you some of the work that we've done in Gage County over the last few years. You guys are really fortunate to have Eric on your board.
I didn't hear that, Tom. What did you say?
Eric is also the chair of SEND, and, you know, it's really, I worked for several boards and several chairmen over my career, and we're really fortunate to have Eric because he's entrepreneurial, he's innovative, he allows us to try things that other districts don't try. Brent will be talking about one of those today, but I also want to introduce two staff members. Brent Pengraft, he's a housing inspector. He's going to be talking about a proposed project that we're going to be rolling out soon. And then Amanda North, this is Amanda's third day on the job. Amanda comes to us from the Grand Island Chamber, where she focused on housing. But she is our economic development specialist / loan officer. Do you want to say anything, Amanda?
No.
Okay. But really quickly, thank you again for your continued support, listening to your grant conversation. Grants are they're a challenge. As state and federal dollars become more limited, it becomes more and more competitive. So you guys, I think this is an important conversation to have. And it's really great that you have someone like Emily that will step up and help. You know, we work for 16 counties, and we don't hear this conversation enough. Every county in our region should be having this conversation. But you guys are smart. You guys are being proactive and trying to address this, like Eric said, now instead of years from now. But this, I'm going to focus on this for really quickly. This is kind of a quick overview of some of the projects that we've done since 2020. And I can go into detail. I won't read these to you. But the bullet points are some of the ones that we've been working on lately. This past year, we've had a broadband grant that allowed us to do some community and income surveys that really added value to this process. Most communities, in order to qualify for state and federal grants, have to qualify from an income standpoint. And these surveys that we did allowed us to qualify Blue Springs, Barnston, Philly, Claytonia, and Virginia. Prior to that, they were not eligible. So we did community surveys, income surveys, and now those communities are indeed eligible for community development block grants. Not USDA, because USDA uses a different income survey tool, but with this, we were able to make them eligible, and that gives them a 5-year window to apply for these state and federal grants. You can see we took advantage of that this year with Claytonia. Emily, you helped with that one, didn't you? With the earmark?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that one will be a fire hall. I believe that's a $400,000 or
$630,000 through CDBG.
$630,000? Okay.
And then we're still waiting on the 1.3 that's on the floor at the Senate.
Right. That was nicely done. But we helped them with that. Barnston was another one that we helped qualify, and that's going to be a streets project. We were really fortunate this year. We applied for 18 grants, and we got 17 of them awarded. our district got half of the state's allocation for CDBG, which is pretty remarkable.
How many districts are there across the state? So I think that's a really important point to make right there. Out of eight districts, our district, SEND, took 50% of the CDBG money from across the state. I know it's not fair. Life's not fair. We're going to try to take as many dollars as are available and focus them on our district, and SEND's doing a really good job of that.
Yeah, we've got a really good staff, and I know that Emily's worked with Oliver. Yeah, I think all of you guys have worked with Oliver at some point. But we've got some really talented grant writers. And along those lines, Virginia, that application was submitted, and we are working with the Department of Economic Development to cure that. So basically that means you have to score a certain threshold to be awarded. The application was submitted. They had some questions to make it eligible. So there's a really good chance that Virginia's streets project might get awarded as well. Do you guys have any questions on these? I don't want to spend a lot of time on this.
These are ones that have actually been completed, it looks like, or in
either
process.
In process or just awarded.
There are some other ones that aren't mentioned on here because there's another street project in Philly, I believe, or there's another project in Philly that's in the works, I believe, for this next year.
I believe that's a 2024. They just designed it, so okay. That should be coming out.
And then Beatrice specifically, there are going to be a couple duplexes built here in town.
There are, yeah.
Which will be, they're rent capped, but those can become private eventually. There's a time frame on that, and instead of being some subsidized government housing, there are some rules that go along with that, and then at some point in time they go to the private sector and they just become completely private. So,
correct.
This could happen in Fairbury. I don't know if it's going to, but it looks like Beatrice it will. There's also some lots that SEND owns in Beatrice that'll be additional homes. And then I don't want to take anything away from what you guys are going to tell us about future projects here also, but this is just a small piece of what is going on right now.
Yeah, and we are building two, as Eric said, we are building 2 3-bedroom duplexes here in town, so it would be a total of 4 units, 12 bedrooms, of, you know, across them. They're going to be nice. They're going to be nice housing. I will say that they are capped by what we can charge with rent, but it's not income qualified. So it'll be $1,400 a month for a 3-bedroom unit. And I think it's going to be a 2-car garage as well. So these will be nice facilities. And let's say for this gentleman back here, Senator Dorn actually led the charge on that pandemic housing project. So we didn't know whether we'd apply for that or not. And then I thought, you know, Senator Dorn, this is his project and this might be his district. So let's give it a shot. And we were fortunate enough to get that awarded. It was $1 million. So that would be money spent in your county. So
it never hurts to know Senator Dorn.
It never does. Yeah. But, you know, we utilize local lumber yards. We utilize local subcontractors. So when I say $1 million is being spent, most of that is going to be spent in your communities with your local lumber yards, your local subcontractors. So that money is not going to go anywhere outside of Page County.
I was just thinking of other projects. So there's a new home being built in Fairbury. How many homes have been built now with SEND's assistance in Nebraska City? Are we on number 6?
We're on number 6, yeah.
So there's a lot going on. I always brag about SEND. It's really fun to brag about SEND because of all the projects that are going on all over. No one really knows all the projects other than the folks at SEND that are working on them, because they really are spread out. We're not even talking about the stuff we used to really talk about, which was we're going to re-insulate a home.
Yeah.
And we're going to remodel a bathroom. Or, I mean, that was where we were at before. Now, I mean, we've really gone above and beyond. Also trying to be a little more stable, depending on grant funding, instead of being completely dependent on grants and state funding. trying to stabilize that and diversify SEND so that it's a more stable organization through the ebbs and tides of public funding.
Yeah, and going back to the just diversifying the SEND contracting and the housing, we're building a couple houses down in Falls City, and a lot of folks down there were really upset. They're going to, this Lincoln firm's going to come in, they're going to buy all the materials, all the lumber from Lincoln, subcontractors. And I will say, the county commissioner, one of the county commissioners down there, owns the lumber yard, and he is our best friend now because we told him we were going to buy material from him, and we kept our word. We use his lumber yard, we use local subcontractors, so all of that money that we are spending ends up in that community. So essentially we're taking Lincoln money and spending it in these small towns. This is just a quick overview. I can always come back and provide additional information if you'd like, if you are interested in economic development or loans. Amanda, eventually, we'll come back, give her a little bit of time. Day four, we'll just say day four, she can come back and she'll know everything. But one of the loans that we did is your Jimmy John's down here. That was a recent loan that we packaged. And then interoperability. So one of the things that we've been really focused on is interoperability. We understand that a lot of the local fire districts, they don't have the financial wherewithal to, you know, pay for new handhelds and repeaters and things along those lines. And interoperability is critical. So we've been working closely with Senator Fisher's office. If you guys are interested, we're helping Odo County. We've been really successful at this, by the way. We've helped Odo County, Thayer County, Richardson, Saunders. Got a huge one a couple years ago, like a $3-point-some million interoperability grant. But that's something that they are very interested in helping with. And that's something that she sets on the right community, right committees to get funded. So I would encourage you to reach out to Jacob and Grant with Senator Fisher's office. Now I'm going to ask Brent to talk about a project that I mentioned this earlier. Eric's our chairman, and he lets us be mad scientists. We're always trying different experiments. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. This is one we're going to try. But we do see a need for this, and we see an opportunity, particularly with housing. New construction is crazy expensive, $220 a square foot. A $1,500 square foot home is over $350,000. That's not workforce housing to me. That's really crazy expensive. Also, it's not a first-time homeowner's. That's out of the budget for most first-time homeowners. So we're going to try something a little bit different. We've reached out to Emily on this as well. We're going to keep bothering her. Sorry. But she's a great asset for your county. But, Britt, you want to talk about this?
Yes. To introduce myself, I haven't had the opportunity to speak with all of you. I'm Brett Pengraft. I'm our housing inspector and the demographic of a first-time homebuyer. So it's helpful to have this perspective on this new project idea that we have. We're calling it the Home Lift Program. Our target here is to find unused or vacant homes on different properties throughout the area, and we want to hire movers to help bring these homes to lots that are either donated or purchased for, you know, a cheap lot price, if we can, into our district towns. And if needed, we will rehab whatever's necessary to bring it up to standard for the area, or to make it a little bit more livable if this house has been sitting empty for a while. And we want to be able to provide these houses at a very affordable price. I am very stringent on talking with Jim about all of this. I want to keep these below $225 ideally, so it's perfect for keeping things affordable. You get a few of these houses, new construction, it's tough to keep them below $325, $350 almost. So taking advantage of finding these houses through our connections with farmers who have extra houses on their lands that they don't have anyone living in them for 20 years, vacant homes in town that just can't sell. Maybe they need move to a different area, one with a little more appeal, and we can help shape them up using our funds and put them on the market for people to move into at an affordable price. So there's a little overview here. Yeah, if there's any questions regarding this, or if you have any connections with people who you may know, you know, have an extra spare house that's just sitting there.
Brent, I'd like you to talk with Mr. Dorn here before you leave.
Of course.
We were just talking about one of those homes that may be a candidate.
We were just talking about one of these homes near his home that may be a candidate, and it's very close to the Village of Philly. Mm-hmm. And the Village also has lots available, so you may be able to walk into a free lot with the Village and move that home, and instead of me coming and tearing it down and hauling it away, it might be a good used home to rehab and get back on the market.
Of course. Virginia
hasn't been updated for years.
Yep. No, that's, I mean, we're not looking to put out, you know, shiny, brand-new looking homes. We just want to keep things affordable, but also livable. So we'll do whatever rehab's necessary using the local contractors center first with our focus to hire those guys. If needed, we'll at least keep things in our district for our other contractors who do other projects for us. But, yeah, it doesn't have to be, you know, shiny, you know, gold appliances. We're just trying to find some people some cheap homes. So we think this home lift program can kind of target that. Of course, you know, it may be difficult. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I had to just laugh a little bit when I first got your email, because I had literally been trying to do that with that actual, like, the same house that you had sent the picture of for a few months even prior to that. And I had just missed, there was a lot in Claytonia that had just sold, but I think actually a parsonage is being moved. The old church parsonage is being moved into town there, so I missed that one, but I'm really excited you guys are taking this up, because I think there's opportunity for that.
Yeah, and there, of course, there's a stepping stone that's a bit of a hurdle of routing. Moving houses is tough, considering, you know, some of these are big. You got to work, coordinate with everybody, power lines, those got to be taken up, taken down. Finding, you know, the best route into town of where you want to put it, easy access on the lot.
Just popped in my head, Mr. Adams has a home also that would be available for movement and placement on a lot in Blue Springs, probably.
Look at that.
No, we have one being moved into Blue Springs.
What about the school? Yeah. Oh, that's already being moved.
Yep, it's okay. Being done. So, but that's what I wanted to touch on. Blue Springs, we started something, well, you're familiar, one property at a time. We've taken down 44 houses. Most of them were not savable. So what are you looking at on a savable house? Are you putting it on a slab? Are you putting it on a basement?
It depends on cost, because we don't want, you know, our purchase of the home, if needed, and plus the lot cost, if needed, to purchase that as well.
We have a lot of lots we will give you. Okay. I'm sick of mowing.
It all depends on the amount that's needed to pay for the rehab to get it, you know, to a basic standard. If it can bleed over.
Sad to say, most of them are past the point of
salvage. Yeah, and that's
salvage.
Just the tough part with some of the houses in our district in the rural areas, ones that have sat empty for a while. But our main goal is to keep these affordable. Everyone wants to say affordable, you know, in all these different housing programs, and then they charge $350,000 for a house. As a 26-year-old, I know what people are needing for a first-time home buyer. We want to keep things low. So if we can avoid bleeding over, you know, 225, 250, that kind of gets out of that affordable range for most young home buyers, where we're trying to bring people into our communities.
So something to keep in mind here, too. You guys know that I'm not real big on government controlling a bunch of things, or any more government on any level ever, but this is a program where it's self-sustaining. I mean, we are using some funds, but it's not just the giveaway game. This is investing into this home, making a investment to make it nicer and sellable, livable, and then it sells with a small profit that covers fees and allows for, you know, overhead, things like that, and a little bit more money to go back to the coffer to continue doing this. So
it rolls right.
It's not a one and done. This is an ongoing program that funds itself over time in theory, not getting rich off of it, but taking a little bit so that we can continue moving forward with the project. Ms. Haxby?
Just a question. You know what Rex has done with the one property at a time. Not everybody is fortunate to have a Rex. He's done a lot, and I've had a lot of villages and even a couple in my district that have asked how they could do that, and there's nobody that has, like, there's not a Rex in every community. Could that be incorporated into some of the stuff you guys are doing with this to help those communities out? I mean, you have a professional here that knows how to make it work.
I know, Rex's a lot down there, so.
I work for cookies.
The problem is, and I mean, realistically, they're taking dollars getting these homes torn down and stuff. There is an expense there. It's hard to, because that lot's worth nothing when you're done. You give it away. It's not about making money. It's just about getting rid of some of these old homes. It makes it very difficult where you're trying to have an ongoing program when you expel your funds and nothing comes back in at all.
The valuation that we have taken down was $330,000 of valuation, but our new growth right now, we are kissing $2 million in new growth in Blue Springs.
You're going to say a lot of new growth, though, because of the new homes.
Six or seven with another one. I just got a phone call the other day that they're two out on a foundation, so.
Welcome to the Springs.
Welcome to the Springs. Mm-hmm. So we have lots of properties, and I am dead serious. I am sick of mowing.
Even if it's not doing the funding part of it, like you said, there's a cost involved. But knowing how to do it and being able to help those communities do what he does, because he can't be everywhere. He's done a great job.
It's sad to say, though, our fight was not the biggest fight with the people of a community on your house needs torn down. It was with the cities. And I'm sure every community is the same way. The city don't want to enforce ordinances. The city doesn't want to make somebody mad. So our biggest obstruction ever was with the city. And the people of the community embrace it. We get our money from the people of the community. You know, so that tells you we're not unique. Every community you guys drive through experiences the same things we are. Houses have got to come down if you want to change the direction you're going, they've got to come down.
And I do want to answer one tidbit. I remember you saying, Rex, what type of foundation they're going on.
Yeah.
Our idea is to keep things standard. We want to put them on a foundation that is roughed in for two future bedrooms and one future bathroom. So not only are we copy and pasting this house, we're giving it potential to, you know, if a young family moves into these, they can, you know, finish the basement at some point to expand their home family, and then it could provide more growth in the housing market for whatever town we're going in. So I did want to mention that.
Yeah, one of the things that we really focused on is we know that there's a need for housing. We know that there's a need for affordable housing. And we were at the Department of Economic Development talking about the need for this sort of thing. We pitched this idea to them, and one of the DED folks said, I know someone outside of DeWitt that's got two houses. They're going to burn down if no one claims them. So we made that call. As soon as we got the information, we made the call, and now we've been working with especially. It's in Gage County. These two houses are in Gage County. And the farmer built himself a new house next door. The parents moved into town. These are nice houses. I think you've been in them.
Yeah.
So they're nice houses, and Brent and Cole, our two housing inspectors, will walk through them, make sure that they're livable, make sure that someone would be proud to have this as their home. But the reality is, the farmer, he just didn't want to adjust his pivot to, you know, to move or to avoid that house.
Most of them probably aren't livable that have sat that long.
You're right.
So, I mean,
you're right. And that's why we'll do
what are you putting 100,000 in them? Your basement's going to be 30. Moving them is 18 to 20.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess I've played the game enough on these that you got to put a lot of money in some of them.
Yeah, we'll do the. You guys, Gage County is going to be our first experiment with this. We've got two houses. We were looking at Beatrice. The MPPD is going to be someone that's going to have to be worked with just for the power lines. I try to encourage Brent, as we were moving, if you could just stand on the roof and push the lines up with a broom pole, but he's not on board for that.
Sloped roofs, they'll go over.
Yeah. Or my spiked shoes that day.
Yeah. He's got a golf club, but I told him that probably wouldn't.
Couple questions on this other, on the grants, as we're looking at a grant writer. You guys administer grants every day.
We do.
Is that something that you would be able to do for us instead of us having someone on the county board administer? Because we don't have the ability to go through and administer. We don't go out and check. Part of it would be going out and doing a lot of these will be certified payroll type jobs,
yeah,
or prevailing wage. You have to go out and do checks. Are you working under the right accreditation or under the right...
wage termination.
Yeah. Yes. Some of these items like that, reporting for us, would you work with the grant writer? Would you do the two-week reporting on our grants?
We do that for a lot of communities. For example, right now with Prague up in Saunders County, we helped them with prepare an RFP for a grant for a playground improvement. But we did that with Jefferson County a couple of years ago. We secured some money for them to improve it on Clay Road. The wage termination is something we do on a daily basis.
So that could take all of that away from anyone sitting up here. This would be something that we could have you all take care of.
Absolutely.
So like I say, as we go through, I'll second what Mr. Jurgens said. We've been extremely lucky to have Ms. Haxby as she's gone through and done these. We have not assisted her. She's done these on her own through gathering information, helping to package them. This would be nice if we don't have a Ms. Haxby, down the road, or to take that away from her where she's not doing day-to-day paperwork on these things. This would be something that it could be packaged through SEND to do all of that work.
SEND is doing the grant administration on the last one. Brittany's been great. Between James and Brittany have been helping out on that.
Good.
But those are things I think it's important for us to look at packaging. If Rick and I were in charge of these grants, we would not have these grants. So we've got to think about who's going to be here later and how do we make this more sustainable for the long term.
As I said earlier, that is a great conversation. I wish all of your counterparts across the 16 county region would be having this conversation.
It's okay if they don't, though, because we would really like to focus all of your energies engaged.
Give our help all the men.
And once again, please reach out. You have my card. If I can't answer it, if the housing question, if I can't answer it, we'll send it to Jim or Brand. If it's a loan question or a community development question, we'll send it to Amanda or James or Brittany. But you've got some really good resources at SEND, and I would encourage you guys to utilize them.
Please.
Tom, we do have an interlocal agreement that'll be up next on our agenda. Could you talk on the ICA and there's very little change. We're talking a sentence, but this is the difference between SEND being able to own property as SEND, not SEND Inc. or SENAC, and not being able to. This is going across all the counties. It was passed by the board of directors in contingency or with a contingency that it's approved by the county. So this isn't forced in. But the board of SEND would like to do this with the approval of the counties. So this is next on our agenda, if you would touch on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So SEND is created through state statute. We're one of eight districts across the state. Districts are formed at the state level, but membership is based with these ICAs, these interlocal cooperative agreements. SEND's is pretty standard compared to other districts. Omaha's district allows that district to own property. We're just trying to replicate that. Part of it is we want to be a little bit more innovative, entrepreneurial with the stuff that we do. At the same time, we want to be a little bit more aggressive with housing. And part of that is SEND needs the ability to own property.
I agree.
So we're asking for permission to allow the district to own property. As Eric said, right now we use a relationship or partnership we have with our two affiliate nonprofits. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. It does add a lot of paperwork to the process because we have to get permission from this board and this board, and then usually goes back and forth for several months. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. So this would streamline that process. At the same time, we're hoping to create a 501c3 for SEN. The same thing would be the board would have some latitude in what we pursue, but right now, you know, state and federal resources are becoming fewer and fewer. Foundation grants are still out there, and we want to be able to apply for those. I'll give you an example of something that just happened. We were working on a loan down in Chicley. It's for a diesel repair shop. The Chicley Community Foundation wanted to give a business a grant to help pay down their business loan. The business loan was through SEN. So we had to get permission from SEN, Inc. to accept the grant as a 501c3 from the Chicley Community Foundation, and then SEN, Inc. gave the money to SEN. So it became just additional steps that, in my mind, weren't really necessary, especially if SEN can have that opportunity itself. So we're asking your permission to approve the new ICA just to allow us to, one, own property, and to create a 501c3 to allow us to pursue new funding options. And I will say that the funding opportunities that we have chased, they paid off pretty well with housing, broadband, new development. We'd like to be just more aggressive with that.
This is part of diversifying and becoming more sustainable, too, without just grant funding. Our investment, I just had Don look it up. We invest about $7,000 into Send as Gage County, and we literally get millions of dollars back in our county alone, not to mention when something's good in Jefferson, we're rural Nebraska, it's still good for Gage County or Saline, vice versa. So this is another way to be more self-sustaining as we broaden our scope, but still using private funds on things, private contractors, things like that. It just gives one more layer that we can spread things over and still bring in additional funds to make sense sustainable.
And at the same time, we've experienced this where a community wants to apply for a grant and SEN, Inc. in this case becomes the pass-through. So it might be a small town that doesn't have a 501c3 or a community foundation or something, some mechanism to apply for that grant. Potentially we could use it for Gage County as well. So if you are interested in, you know, identify some foundational grant or some grant that requires a 501c3, you might be able to apply through SEN, and then essentially be a pass-through for Gage County.
Questions for Tom or his team? Amanda, I'd like to welcome you to SEN.
Thank you.
Enjoy your first week. This one will be easy, then it gets tough. So.
Looking forward to it.
Questions for Tom? Anything?
No, Brent, I just sent you an email with Terry in it, a picture of the house and his assessor's page.
Great. Thanks. We'll look at it, and we'll talk with Jim and Cole, and we'll get back to you, I'm sure.
All right. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks.
We appreciate you coming down.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, you do.
You want to put that on?
Let's see. Okay.
Up next will be the Affirmation Interlocal Cooperation Agreement with SEND, which would allow the formation of a 501c3 and the ability for SEND to own property. I'd ask for a motion to approve or disapprove. Moved by Lytle, second by Juergens. Are there any questions on this ICA?
Thank you.
Are
there any unintended consequences or anything that could go wrong with doing this? I don't really see anything up front.
Potentially, just the potential I saw was there's a potential for loss anytime when you own property. We're very conservative as we're looking at property and purchases, overly conservative, I would say, most times. But, Roger, legally?
There's no problem here. Number one, I would look at it. A lot of times you just look at dollar signs as far as investment return. There's a lot more to the return on this stuff. It's a great collaboration. You got a track record of success already with this group that you're working with. Mm-hmm. Now, if it falls apart, you get some bad eggs in there, as you guys talked about, sometimes it happens. And sorry about that. But people will just want to look at the dollar signs, and that's very misleading, and that's a very incomplete part of the whole picture. So you got great people up there. You do business with these people that are there. If it changes, you got a chance to look back at it or look at it in the future and say, mm-hmm. we're not happy. So I don't, you know, the only legal questions I had as far as they've already looked at the 501c3 and the competitions that go with that with other foundations. As he tried to address, we're trying to be an opportunity as well as cutting through red tape, which, you know, I work with the foundation, and that's sometimes that delays projects and delay on construction. You know, Eric knows, everybody knows that works in construction. When you talk about 4, 5, 6 months delay, the costs go through the ceiling right now. So I see nothing legally that would prohibit this. And again, I think the best thing is the track record.
We've had some really good luck up there, and I'm hoping we continue to. That's been a great organization to work with over the years. Additional questions on this ICA? We have a motion by Lytle, second by Juergens, to approve signing this. There's nothing else. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Final item on the agenda. Do we need a closed session at the end of the agenda or no? Probably we'll discuss things. What's that? Or we discuss that Monday? I would say we discuss the committee reports. Up next is approve or disapprove the RFP for a grant writer. Ms. Haxby, would you like to take this one, or Dawn, do you want to take this? Because Ms. Haxby is actually the one that went through this. And Roger went through this and put together the RFP to put out.
I finished this late, so sorry, Roger, I didn't give you a good time.
He got his normal 3-minute.
Yeah. I don't know if it needs to be all that comprehensive, because we're asking for proposals. And I think we covered the basics where we want them to be able to look for grants. We want them to be in touch with us on a regular basis to let us know what opportunities that we have. In the back, you know, we make sure that we have everything that they do while they're under contract with us is our property of ours, so that if we want to reapply and we don't have them anymore, we should have that ability to do that kind of stuff. And then just kind of the basic stuff where you have the right to reject any or all proposals, you're going to go with the best candidate and that kind of stuff.
And some of those items are actually contract items if we entered into an agreement with them. We're just asking for a proposal. What are they willing to do to start with?
Yeah, and under it is a professional contract, so you can go, you know, it's not the lowest bidder. It's lowest responsible bidder. That's state law. And professional contracts, you can look beyond that, too.
And under grant management, I did have optional, just because while it would be nice to have it all under one umbrella, we do have, we can utilize SEN for that. So I put that in as optional, collaborating between other agencies. What I asked for in the RFP response would be a cover letter, company profile, what they do, how they write it, how they write the grants, how they coordinate, what qualifications do they have, maybe some of their successes, and then a fee structure, whether they do hourly retainers or a flat fee option, just to kind of give us an idea on what they're looking for. I don't know if we could, I should ask them, is utilizing SEN to get it out to different companies so they know that we're asking for an RFP.
I was going to ask you that next. Where do we send this once we decide to send it out? Do you have any idea how to send this out, or do we talk to Tom and try to figure out?
I'd say probably talk to Tom, maybe even reach out to like our U.S. representation too. So I'm sure they're well aware of different grant writing agencies that might be willing to respond. But I have it. I mean, I give enough time. I think I have it due February 4th. Don, did you check if 9/15 worked on February 4th? No. I just threw a number in there.
Yep, because I don't have it down yet, so it's going to work. Okay.
So it would be due February 4th by 9/15.
I would ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the RFP for a county grant writer.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Claybaugh. I want to thank Emily again for going through this. I thought we had a template that we were making some changes from. We did not. She created this from scratch.
I had some samples to go off of.
That's okay, though. I thought we had something we could just take some names and change them like that, and we did not. I'd like to thank Mr. Claybaugh also for talking to one of the grant writers that we're familiar with already. Yeah. They may or may not end up the best choice, We're going to end up with someone that's good regardless, and I'm looking forward to that.
Well, this is very comprehensive RFP. It really is tailored toward the county. It's just not a standard RFP, so you guys did a great job.
Thank you, Emily, and thank you, Roger. Any other questions on this or comments? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. We're on a roll. Anything else for the good of the order here, Ms. Haxby?
I got an email, and I said they are requesting my response, and so I wanted to see what you guys thought before I responded. One of the boards that I sit on is the APACE, and they asked me, we can't formally give a yes or no, but they're talking about using or giving a bonus to the employees. They're calling it a retention incentive. The amount, the overall cost would be about $300,000 additional, and they wanted to know if I was okay with it, and I said I'd reach out to the board.
Just like the stay home, those people have a skill that I don't have. I mean, it does take a special skill set to work in those places. Are they having trouble holding employees, getting employees? Because I, for one, couldn't work there. I don't think Terry could probably work there.
Terry could.
So, I mean, that's just my stance. That is a skill set that is not easy.
I'm always kind of on the Debbie Downer side on throwing out bonuses. This is a quasi-government agency. Yep. It's completely government-funded. And they're making up a name again. You know how I love artificial make-believe titles. This is a Christmas bonus. And we're using ARPA funds for a Christmas bonus.
Well, it says over the past 4 years, we've paid the base staff with a retention incentive in the month of December to show our appreciation. ARPA funding covered these in previous years, except last year when we built this payment into our annual compensation plan. We eliminated this payment from our budget this year to meet our obligations in what was a tight budget cycle.
Must not be too tight if we've got an extra $300,000 laying around.
Hey, Emily, what is salary? This person we're talking about.
Well, this would be for everybody's.
For everybody?
Yeah.
How much is what?
They're saying for people that work 40 hours or greater, $500, 30 hours per week, 375, 20 hours per week, 250.
Terry, what are you giving out for Christmas bonuses?
My thought was here, we don't do that, and as we represent other boards, it's hard to do this kind of stuff for other entities or for other entities when we don't do it for our own people here. So,
I'm sorry, I'll get it.
Bring it to you guys.
Is that fair? Emily, I know you don't have to ask my opinion.
Yeah. I think he knew my answer too, but I'm
you know, my
doing my due diligence, Terry? And I'm asking the board.
I don't personally, if you're talking about a retention bonus, $500 isn't retaining people. That's just—it's just a slush fund, $500. If we're looking at, or if you're looking to retain people,
Rule 21. Terry just stepped off.
Like he cares.
if you're looking at a retention bonus, it's a lot more than $500. This is just, here's a handout.
They told you they used to give these. We used to always call them a Christmas appreciation deal for your employees when you're in private practice.
Yeah.
It's a common deal. I think Emily hit the nail on the head. We're talking taxpayer dollars. I don't care where it comes from. The fact that it was a tight budget, we're going to find a different pot of taxpayer money to do this.
I'll throw this out, too. In years past, we had that ARPA money. We had $4 million. Jefferson County, and I will say our employees here, I was contacted by different offices. Well, we should give that ARPA money to the employees as a bonus, which it wasn't. It's not a bonus. Well, they worked through the pandemic. It was like, great, so did we. Here's a cookie. This is your job. You do it. We didn't do that. We took that $4 million. We invested it in infrastructure and fiber, and that $4 million became a $13 million investment in our county. We didn't frivolously give that away. Now, you go over to Jefferson. Jefferson gave handouts out there. It was an artificial insertion of cash into the county coffers, and it was spent the way they felt it was right. We didn't do that. We went about our general business. We did our job. We got paid. We didn't owe the employees anything extra. They didn't owe the people of the county anything extra. We got paid a fair wage for what we did. I don't think it's good to just insert money like that that's not part of a regular salary. Privately, I do. Publicly, I don't.
I will let them know. And then my other note was that we were asked to discuss the funding for GCD funds.
Yes. So GCD had dollars left over when it dispersed in 07. That's not the right year.
Close.
Somewhere in there. When GCD had an administrative dispersion or an administrative dissolution, it had administratively dissolved, I believe is the correct term. I don't remember the year, but there was $26,000 or so left in that account at that time. This is just from this year.
It was assumed, though, that we were going to give the half in our resolution so that we would evenly split it between city and county, and then we would determine.
I did answer that email and said that passed last Wednesday to split that 50-50. It would go to both organizations. Either organization could do whatever they choose to do with it. City Beatrice, it looks like, is going to give that to the merger group. I don't know if it goes to Engage or to who, to help fund the search for a new director. I just made the comment on that email. I don't know what...
It can't go to the merger group, though, can it? I mean, there's no entity.
There is no entity there. I don't know who it would go to, if it would go to Engage or whoever it would go to. It would have to go to an actual entity with an EIN, probably Engage, I would assume. I said I don't know what the county's feeling is on that. I feel it's a usable fund, or that's a proper use of those funds, like legally proper. I don't know what your feelings are on it. Right now, if it is given to us, it would go into the general fund. We don't even have a mechanism to expel that fund out without budgeting for that. When we receive money, it goes automatically to the general fund. We have to budget in some form to give that out, which I guess we could do that through the Engage Fund because we could have that as a reimbursable expense because we aren't going to have any funds expelled here in the near future because there are no wages. So, I mean, there is a mechanism in place that we could do that. It's just up to you guys what you would like to do with those funds if we actually receive them. Ms. Haxby.
One time we discussed that we were just going to put it in the general because it wasn't going to be a consistent form of revenue for them moving forward. So it's not something they can necessarily count on, you know, annually, like our normal commitment is to Engage or the tourism dollars that we have coming in. My comment was that with, you know, using additional dollars to hire an executive director, the new entity doesn't legally exist. And so, like, we talked about that, but I think that for hiring an executive director for this entity that doesn't exist, I think it creates some governance and liability issues, like who do they report to, what policies do they follow. I think it might be a little bit of cart ahead of horse. And we don't have, I mean, the funds moving forward on this entity aren't secured yet either. There's no guarantees on how this is going to work. I think it's a great concept. The project is great in concept. I just think that we need to have some of these things ironed out.
Roger, I see you have a comment on this.
Yeah, just a thought on it. This is money we didn't expect. And if that gets into a whole new story, is where was it? What was it doing? And I know some of you have asked that question. Those are legitimate questions, but I don't know. I would suggest we don't hold anything up to answer something that happened maybe more than 10 years ago. Now, if you drop back to, I think everybody on the board realizes this is a good project at advancing the economic development of this county. And obviously we've done that on a couple of occasions and took part in it. We now have something that's got some additional complications with it, and that's a merger situation. So we're bringing in new entities into an economic development organization that's in the process of being formed. There's a lot of wrestling going on right now. And I would just ask you to, you know, don't get caught in the in the weeds, as we often say. But as I told Emily, you know, I'm kind of like the old Missouri mule, lead me, don't push me. And I think, I hope that continues to be the process of the merger group as to working with the county, the chamber, and the other entities involved in this thing. So that's the only thing. You know, the money's not there. It does beg a question, and I haven't had a chance to really talk to Don about that, but one of the people I'd probably talk to, since he's on a mission, and that would be the state auditor. Unless he's playing golf down here, I'd just certainly not come to Beatrice. But
he's a nice fella.
I know he is, but they're playing golf.
I would ask comment from our merger representatives are Ms. Haxby, Mr. Claybaugh, and Mr. Adams. Before asking you guys your thoughts on it, I guess I would ask for the opinion of the merger group. You guys have been meeting back and forth, going over things.
Well, I'd also like to comment or note that this said that they had a Zoom meeting where these decisions were discussed and made, and I didn't get an invite to that Zoom meeting. Did you guys?
No.
So that's, you can let me know. Tell you how I feel about that kind of concept too.
We didn't.
We didn't get an invite to it. It was something that happened outside of us.
If the criteria fits, I'm fine with using it. That our money, or however many, 15,000 or 13,000 or whatever, I'm fine with using it toward the search. I'm fine with that. I kind of agree with Roger. We can't hold this back.
If I remember in the search, in that email, I believe the search is it 22,000 and change, and then part of it would go through
25,330. So it basically wipes out the money that we would get from the old corporation, right?
Well, we also have working groups that should be working on this. Why are we just subbing out the work, paying more?
Well, you're gonna.
That's what the working groups are for.
And again, I've not been involved in the conversations. I assume you're going to have some kind of a headhunter group that would be out there looking.
Now,
they indicate they've got a candidate already.
A candidate for the position?
Well, that's what one of the emails I got on a deal. So I'd say the $25,000 interview.
Yeah, which was my. I responded to that, and I think that they need to vet that person a little bit, at least by networking with people that would know him before we spend $25,000 to do that, because he seems to be interested. So I think we ought to do that first.
Oh, it'd be a great idea,
Mr. Adams.
Well, I just think that money would be good for the executive search, but if we have somebody that is expressing interest, maybe we look at that before we just throw money in the bucket.
Is this search for only the executive director? Would this be for the other?
The marketing and branding, that was $23,000. Rick's on
that. That's the one I was thinking of, the marketing and branding.
That's the one they wanted additional dollars for tourism, which I don't believe that it qualifies for.
Thank you, Roger.
Yeah, that's what I just made a copy.
Really marketing.
But it sounded like they already got a firm for that, right? Were you in on that?
No, we talked about that particular firm, but
no, this is the one that they weren't including.
Eric, are you listening to this?
I started reading. I'm sorry.
You might want to listen to this.
We talked about that was a group that I was on about this marketing company in Lincoln, and since we didn't think it fit the criteria, did you send an email to those four people about whether that criteria fit?
Man, that hurt.
Us were in tourism for that particular marketing group. Did you send an email to them?
No, and I didn't. You know, I mean, when I get emails from a certain entity in town and they want me and Toby's opinion on something that is this board's decision, as I told Emily, I'm not going to respond to that until this board directs me to do something. Right. That's not my job.
And tourism wouldn't fall under Toby either.
Rivera,
the marketing that they've went.
Yeah, this was for the marketing, and that it was your opinion that it didn't count. And I said, well, I'll have you send to them.
Yeah.
You know, why that your opinion it wasn't is that?
I don't know if you read my deal on that. I just said that I didn't think that tourism funds should be for rebranding or renaming an organization, because using tourism dollars to rebrand an entity itself doesn't fall, I don't think, within eligible tourism purposes. If we open the door to funding an entity's brand, it raises the question whether we would then be obligated to offer the same opportunity to any new LLC, nonprofit, or business that forms in the future. I just don't think that.
I think from the emails since then, they're looking somewhere else, I think, for the money, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
I think that's what that's.
Yeah.
Well, they do have funds still. I mean, each entity's bringing in dollars. I will say, I think in conversations early on, this would have been months ago, the city was going to continue funding Main Street at its full dollar amount, I think at $40,000 a year. After the merger group started, I wasn't in those meetings then, but then within the last month or so, they decided to not continue funding.
The mayor stated they were not.
The mayor stated they were not going to fund Main Street anymore, and the comment was that they would give the GCED money, if received, in lieu of that through the end of the year, and that would be a stopgap, more or less, for that organization. But I think that's been within the right last month or so. Comments from this side of the board?
I agree with what Rick and Rex said.
Mr. Dorn?
What Rick said.
We don't take any action today. There's no agenda item that we'll vote on. I guess personally, I don't care either. We want to get the best director that we can. I doubt that the tourism funds are proper use for a marketing campaign. I think that'd be a stretch. But the this one, if you guys have a candidate that you're all looking at, I would say the same thing. If we could vet that person, and it's a viable person with the skill sets or the potential to get the skill set to move forward. When Rick and I sat on Engage's county and city representatives, that was the route we went last time, and I still say that was a successful choice. We had probably the most comprehensive approach to development that we've had in the last three directors. And that was not picking somebody out and grabbing them from another development group or across the country. It was actually a local that didn't have that skill set necessarily, but had the personality to work into it. So if you guys have somebody you're working with or looking at, I would go along with Rex and say, and Rick, start going through their background and talk to the merger, or I guess you guys are the merger group. Talk to the rest of your group and say, hey, can we hone in on this person? Are they good enough? If you decide that they're not and you need to look outside, I'm also okay with that. Find the best person you can.
I don't mind using the funds. I think if this person's good, great. But we want to find a good person. It's just, I think there's a lot of sticky, it's pretty sticky trying to find somebody for a new entity when it doesn't exist. So, and even the funds aren't even secured for a future entity that
these funds also, I just want to remind the board, these are not out of the bank. They're sitting in the bank right now. They still need to be picked up and brought back and split out into two checks. We assume that can be done. We don't know that can be done. I've talked to another lawyer here in town that asked about it and said this isn't going to work. We think it does right now. I guess we're not going to spend anything that we don't actually receive. Any other comments on this or any other items? If there's nothing else for official business, then
we can go back to public comment if she had something she needed.
Would you like to speak on public comment?
Sure.
We'll revert back to a public comment. Good call, Gary. Would you please give your name and address for the record? So, would you push the button on the, it has like a little speaking voice on the bottom right.
It shows it lit up.
Oh, no, no other machine.
Oh, thank you. Where it says, please press button. Okay.
Oh, would you give your name and address again?
Marcella Rademacher, 9247 South 96 Road, Adams, Nebraska.
Go ahead.
Okay. This is just regarding, I was here in July 3rd, protesting our valuation of the land, not the house, for the fire. We had that fire that went through. And at the time, you said you had never dealt with a fire, and so no change was made. Terry told me to come back in the fall with our production numbers for the last 5 years, if you recall that. Well, when I went home, my husband had an appointment that day, so he couldn't come along. But we said, well, that doesn't make sense since we rotate crops. And we wouldn't be, there was corn on that section. The whole section was burned. So there was corn in that section that year. We won't have corn until next year. So mostly the only corn we had on that section this year was silage to be cut because we knew the crop wouldn't be as good. So they put a few acres of silage that was cut for because all of our hay was burned, all of our silage pile was burned. So anyway, so no decision was made at that time. Eric, you told me that I could go to the appeals to Turk, which I did the last day that was possible because I didn't have my stuff together. Anyway, when I went, the gal that takes your fees, first of all, it's not $25, it was $80. but she said, I want you to, after she looked at my stuff, she said, I want you to talk to our legal counsel, which I did. She had the legal counsel come. And he said, do you understand that if you're appealing this, you're appealing their the board's decision of, and I get to see it. This is, he looked at this, and he said, and this is signed by Eric. He said, you understand that you would be appealing total land and buildings of 296,000 something. And I said, no, our appeal was on the land. And I know that day we talked about you're supposed to fill out two filings, one for the land and one for the buildings. And but you guys talked about that, and Josh was here that day because he was our referee, and he didn't, the clerk staff didn't tell us that we had to have two forms. Josh didn't tell us we had to have two. So you guys talked about that, and we still talked about the appeal of the land. And but he said, their legal counsel said, but you're appealing the 296,000. So I went down. I was going to leave, and I thought, I could have cleared this up. So I went back up, and I talked to him again, and I said, do. And he said, yes. And he said, actually, the board would have to appeal that decision also through them. So I know it's a mistake, but it's also a mistake that we didn't look at that decision that day. Just because you had never dealt with the fire before doesn't mean this couldn't have been the first one. So I don't know what to do, because I'm on the web, on the site, it still says our valuation is at 808,000.
We have no means of appealing anything.
My legal counsel here in Gage County, I talked to him about it, and he said, make sure that you go to the, I mean, that you notify Gage County about what, it's clearly an error, but which I did. I went to the assessor's office. Pat wasn't there that day, so I talked to the other person, and she talked to Josh. Josh did call me, so we discussed it. Josh said he would bring it towards in front of the board or to Josh or to Eric, but I've never heard anything. So that's why I decided to come today, even though I knew it wasn't on the agenda.
and this is public comment, so we really can't interchange and stuff. But just so it's not left hanging, there's a protocol that we have to follow with Turk.
Yes, I know.
Turk goes up from Turk, it goes to the Supreme Court.
But he said you're appealing the 296,000. So after I took it home and I said, so I withdrew my appeal, and I do have the letter from them.
Right.
And it says, deadline for filing an appeal or action of the Gage County Board has passed.
Right.
So I know that's passed, but I also know, you know, when Terry told us to come back in the fall, that decision, that time had already passed too by the time we harvested, that, you know, no change could have been made.
Well, I would just recommend that you talk to Patty.
I did. I mean, okay. I went first to Patty. She wasn't there, so I talked to this other person. They called Josh, who was our referee.
Okay.
Josh said he was going to let the board know it, and I haven't heard anything since.
Roger, I'm going to stop you now like you usually do me. This will be something that we're going to have to talk about outside of meeting. I don't know if you're the right one to go to for her to talk to, or if the assessor. I'm not understanding some of this because it doesn't work.
I will talk to Patty. We'll get a response back to you. I don't want you to think we're just doing this. That's not. I wanted to see if I could give you an answer so that you at least felt.
This isn't the way this works at all.
So you didn't waste your time up here because you shouldn't be doing that. But there's a lot of issues here. Eric asked me to be quiet. I will.
Eddie let me know this morning at 6:30. I don't look at my phone at 6:30. So by the time I looked at my phone, I realized you already were in the meeting. So I thought I'd just come and catch as many of you as I could.
I'll talk to
Patty. I came this morning. But going back to Terry's request that we come back this fall. Yes, there was a significant difference between that quarter and our other quarter. You know, Josh at that time said, and one of our questions was, why is this 160 acres valued at more than the neighboring? And he said, well, because of the dirt composition. It was supposed to be better than the... And so we compared it to a soybean, because we raised soybeans on it this year. The silage definitely was... There wasn't as... You know, the corn on it was... I had a picture of the ears that I think I showed some significantly different. But anyway, the soybeans were at least 50 bushels of the acre difference between the land that's a mile away that we farm, that we had soybeans on, which is not supposed to be as good dirt. So we do have that. I didn't bring that today because I knew I wouldn't get into that, but our request at the time was that we just get our tax value would be the same as it was because of the another gentleman that I know that was affected by a different fire. He got paid big bucks by the insurance company because of loss of topsoil, and it wasn't the same fire. But it was done through the insurance company. We lost so much topsoil; it's crazy. So, anyway, I will talk to whoever I need to talk to later. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rademacher. Is there anything else the board has? If not, Mr. Juergens has made a beeline. We're still going to adjourn at an early time of 10:22. Thank you all.
Everybody take more cookies, please. Seriously. All right. I'm going to...